From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, January 17th, 2012. Every week, this podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica today in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg in Somerville, Massachusetts.
The last hurrah for the Consumer Electronics Show took place last week, and with every new gadget, it seemed like location tech is everywhere. And not to be left behind, the Detroit Auto Show also revealed some new in-dash navigation gizmos. We'll look at how the newest products to hit the consumer market are embedding geospatial technology into just about everything. But first, a word from our sponsor. This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, bringing you truly integrated GIS and image processing from a single organization. You can easily leverage GeoMedia and Erdos Imagine in unison to construct a larger, more complete geospatial picture. GeoMedia delivers powerful GIS analysis and management, enabling you to integrate your geospatial resources. Erdos Imagine incorporates industry-leading geospatial image processing, analysis, and remote sensing capabilities. To learn more, visit intergraph.com/geospatial and register for our upcoming webinar. Well, Adina, it seemed like every announcement coming out of CES and the Consumer Electronics Show had some little tidbit of consumer gizmo or gadget that was all of a sudden embedding geospatial technology and location in some form or fashion. And I want to start with the auto industry. It seemed like cars were getting religion on location a little bit more and integrating more sensors, integrating with telematics, social networks. It just seemed like a hodgepodge of things, all with this thread of location technology running through it. A couple of the announcements were related to using Google Earth in with in-dash navigation system. From Drive.com, they reported on Audi's MMI display that is using Google Earth and Street View. A couple of other blogs out there were reporting that Mercedes-Benz was also using Google Maps and Street View for a map display. And so that's kind of interesting. One of the other things was a Mercedes in their SL class and their Embrace telematics system was including cloud-based apps, traffic and navigation assistance, speech recognition, and internet browsing. I don't know. They were kind of cool, I guess. What caught my attention, and again, I'm going to quote from Drive.com, was something called Roximity, which is a location-based daily deal notification service and is the latest to integrate with the Ford system. This would be the Ford Sync system. The app provides real-time advertisements relevant to the car's location and the user preferences and interests, such as a special deal on food or a nearby restaurant. So that was more interesting to me from the standpoint of that they're now doing location-based marketing and pushing it down inside the vehicle. But for some reason now we're going to the next step here of using location and navigation, or at least beyond navigation, inside a vehicle. A good thing to see. I'm not sure I'm going to be all hepped up about location-based marketing, but it's nice to see something carrying on beyond just true navigation.
Well, when you introduced the topic, you said all of a sudden. And this is not, to me, an all of a sudden. This has been this slow and steady progression of adding on location-based applications, first to our phones, because we are mobile with our phones, and this is the next logical step, which is to put that into our cars, which is the other big thing with which we are mobile. And the car is a great platform because it's big and it's heavy and it can tap into the cloud and it can have all these sensors. So it makes complete sense. I would argue there's a bit of tension here, because where do you do the embedding? Do you do a deal like Google Earth and Street View with Mercedes-Benz, or do you do a deal like TomTom now having an app for the iPhone that links into Facebook so that when you drive your car with your iPhone in it, you can post to Facebook where you're going, because you've got your navigation stuff all tied in. We sort of got that, on which platform do you carry your location connectivity? So my thought as I looked over all these gadgets and gizmos and apps was, where else is this stuff going to go? What other mobile platform do we even have another one? Is that it? Is your phone that you have in your pocket, and then there's the vehicle in which you travel. I'm not going to put it on my bike, am I?
Well, that's a good one, though. I mean, not everybody, but many people, you know, carry a GPS device, sits on their bike if they're, you know, want to know route or travel time or just distance. Why not? Why not put it on your bike? I think that's a great idea. I never thought about it. Or it could be just your watch, right? People go out walking, running. Nothing to say that your watch couldn't also become a mobile platform, certainly as a broadcast device to let people know from a safety standpoint where you are. But it's certainly, there's probably a couple other devices out there that we may want to link.
Right. Well, and I think the watch is just a smaller version of your phone. Right, because plenty of people go walking and cycling with their phone, or they have some kind of mount so they can put their iPhone mounted on their handlebars, that kind of stuff. Although I have to say, I think that market is a lot smaller than you'd think.
In what, the fitness market you're talking
like,
about?
The bicycle market. And it's hard for me to imagine. I mean, certainly there are specialty vendors that would want to specifically market to the fitness cyclist or the competitive cyclist. But let's face it, we don't want to ride where the stores are. We want to ride out where it's pretty and there's no traffic.
Yeah, yeah. Although the fitness market is being very specialized. And as I will note in my stock report that hopefully will be published soon, Garmin has done very well in the fitness market. And it looks, I mean, their phones are highly differentiated. It wouldn't be surprising to me for them to come out with something that's integrated with a social app.
I wouldn't either. And that's sort of, I would argue, that's going to be the social urban fitness space.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to another topic within the context of what's going on in this space. And what another one, the thing that caught my attention was what Intel is doing. And Intel is now developed something called a social cockpit to analyze the flood of social media buzz generated by the massive amount of, in this case, the Consumer Electronics Show. So the Intel system works in real time to identify and track individuals that have said something online that's related to a brand, a competitor, or a specific topic. The monitoring technology determines who they are, where they work, their job, their level of online influence, and records what they said, where they said it, and when. So what Intel has done is captured social media, the buzz around a brand, put it into what I would call a business intelligence dashboard. They're calling it a social cockpit, and allows the marketing manager to look at what the brand awareness is of something that's being said in real time and localized, in this case, the CES trade show floor. To me, this is kind of big data analytics in real time with a location-based information component. Really interesting. But what was interesting in the person reporting it said, well, this is great. It's all fantastic data. I don't know how they're going to act on it. So, but interesting algorithm being developed by Intel.
Right. And I wasn't clear. Intel is using this system. The way I understood it was that it was actually put together by a company called WCG, and that Intel was taking
advantage utilizing
of
it. Right. Yeah, that's right. At the show, right? Because they wanted to track what, you know, how the some of the chips were being discussed inside, I think, the laptops.
Right.
At the show. Right.
Right. And this, what's really interesting to me about this is that it's coming to some people's attention through CES, through this coverage of what Intel did with it. But it's actually this idea of sort of a social media war room with a location component is not new. I first heard about it in 2010. Gatorade has a war room like that, where they have somebody sitting and monitoring all the tweets and the Facebook posts, and some of it is geolocated. And the real issue here is, yes, you're getting in all this data. How do you act on it?
Yeah, and actually we had done work with Fish Software where they were supplying a similar type of situation using RFID to the Army and monitoring how potential recruits were interacting with certain individual promotions about which area of the Army you would like to go into. So,
right, but this would have been an Army trade show kind of.
Exactly. This seems to be a little bit more developed in terms of using a social media platform, though.
Well, and this whole idea of grabbing it from all the different social media and sort of keying in on a particular, in the Intel case, not just Intel, but a particular brand of chip.
Mm-hmm, you know, right.
What's getting the buzz and where is it getting the buzz? If you sort of spin this whole idea forward, this is going to be the future for brands, for political candidates, for celebrities, right? Because what they want to do is get the intelligence as soon as possible and either get out ahead of it or plan to respond to it if they didn't get ahead of it.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating is we're getting down to real micro-marketing in this case. So you're not only targeting, not only just from the individual standpoint, but as we've been discussing, from a brand standpoint, and then going into in-store situations that are developing. I'm looking for a certain product, and I'm going to search some of the apps that are being put into mobile devices, how you search for exactly what you're looking for, when you're searching for, where you are when you search it, and then interacting with the product itself and determining whether this is the right brand or component for me. And then maybe if you didn't find what you need, where you would go next to find it really is fascinating trend to watch. The next thing we want to talk about is near-field communications and out-of-home marketing. NFC is being promoted as a way to do mobile payments, where you essentially swipe your mobile device past a reader of sorts, and then the transaction is automatically done. So this was being done by Visa. They've already approved some smartphones. It's a rather it's one of these upcoming waves of things that is being done. Some people have little cards that they use to swipe to do gasoline payments. Another thing that is being discussed, as was discussed recently, was how near field communications would be used to download apps. And the one I want to highlight is something done by Blue Byte and Hotel Tonight. And it really is a way for people to take advantage of getting the best deals on hotel rooms rather quickly. And what Blue Byte and Hotel Tonight did was that they were using the Blue Byte M-Tag to download some apps. So what would happen is that in a number of different airports, you would see an ad for Hotel Tonight. You'd run by and download the app, and then the whole idea would be that you would want to download the app very quickly. So the idea was that you'd come by an ad, you'd see something, you'd tap on it, and you automatically download the app. This to me is rather micro-location advertising at its finest here. It's just a new form of communication for location-based marketing. I just thought it's something that we ought to let our readers be aware of.
Now, the big thing about NFC is it's a chip. So either your phone has it or it doesn't have it. And if it doesn't have it and you want it, you got to get a physical thing to stick in there. Yeah. Or to attach to it. Hotel Tonight, as I understand it, the goal of it is to sell out hotel rooms that are not already sold for, like, tonight.
Right. Right. Right.
And if you read through the press release from Blue Byte that built the app for Hotel Tonight, has in its press release, if you read it to the end, is this: consumers without NFC on their mobile phones were also able to download the app using QR code, Bluetooth, or Wi-Fi.
Right.
And I would add, if Hotel Tonight really wants to cover all its bases, it should have an HTML5 website and be done with it. Why should I need to download an app to find out the hotels? You know, and if I've got HTML5 and I've got my phone, I've got location awareness, I should just be able to go to the site. Way too many steps. And why should I have to go buy a phone with NFC to do this kind of mobile payment? And there are already solutions that do the same thing without having to have this particular chip, right? So Dwolla has one called Proximity, which basically uses, how intelligently, location and a little bit of relationship information to confirm that you do, in fact, want to pay for your smoothie with your phone.
Yeah, I felt the same way. There seemed to be way too many steps with the objective, in the case of Hotel Tonight, is that you'd see this ad, and the objective was to download the app.
I want the answer to the question. I don't want to download an app.
Right. I just wanted the hotel room. I didn't want to download the app. Maybe this is more of an evolutionary step that eventually, you know, will come about, that we won't need these interim things to get in the way. But
the techie folks who did their predictions for 2012, several of them addressed NFC and said probably not this year. There's still all kinds of things to be worked out. There's security issues. There's the fact that only a very small number of phones actually have the chip in it. If you don't have the chip in it, a company called Manito will sell you a card with an NFC chip. It's $30 for your Android phone and $80 for your iPhone.
Hmm.
All right, so we're not.
Why would you do that?
There you go. It's just not there. And there's, I would argue, there's still competition on this whole mobile payment thing. Nobody has won. And I don't know about you, but I haven't paid for anything with my phone yet. I haven't even gotten on an airplane with my boarding pass on my phone yet.
Now, that I just did. I've used that twice, and I like it. So going paperless, fantastic.
Okay, and I think, I'll be honest with you, I think that people have to get comfortable with that before they're going to be paying with their phones. And to be fair, that technology has now been around for, what, 4 years, 5 years?
Yeah, right.
So now they sort of know about it.
Yeah.
But NFC is still shiny new, and this whole idea of paying with your phone is shiny new. They just covered this on Marketplace Money. They did a really nice job of explaining what the issues are. But again, most people, this is still quite foreign. And I think this idea to push NFC for payments for the London Olympics, it sounds like a great idea. There's 60,000 places where you can use NFC in London. So I want to see how that goes.
Yeah, no, it's one of these, on the adoption curve of technology, it's probably the height of the first bump and not the big adoption swing. So I think there's probably a ways to go for NFC. Well, that's all the time we have for today. This podcast is brought to you by Integraph, providers of GeoMedia and Erdos Imagine. GeoMedia and Erdos Imagine feature the widest range of native data format compatibility on the market and solid commitment to open standards from the OGC and ISO, providing seamless integration with current and future business systems and keeping you free from proprietary lock-in. To learn more, visit integraph.com/geospatial. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com or leave a comment in the comments box where this podcast is posted. I'd like to remind you that the closing date for submitting an abstract and presentation to the Location Intelligence Conference and the Oracle Spatial Users Conference is February 10th. Please do so by going to the locationintelligence.net website. Thanks again for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.